to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello and welcome to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast post-game wrap-up show. I am your host, Tom Ernesty, and as always, I am joined by Mike Oliva. Mike, another loss for the Miami Dolphins, 30-10 today against the Chargers. We're going to dive into the game, but first of all, how are you doing today? And are you excited to talk about this game?
Hey, I am excited. There were some positives in the first half, and as I say at the start of each show, four games down, 12 to go. Let's keep this going. Let's get this over with as quick as possible. Next week's an off week, but after that, you know, it was a big game. But we got to get through the next 12 here and keep your eye on the prize as fans of this team. We're not going through this for nothing. We know what the prize is. I won't even say it. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. But four games down, four losses, and, you know, they showed some life today. They showed some improvement in places. Some guys kind of surprised, and there's some positives, and we still got the negatives, which we all know what they are. But, there were some positives in this game, actually.
There was. And, you know, it felt good to see some of the positives, some little breaks of daylight with the Miami Dolphins. And this is an embarrassing season. It's a dreadful season. We knew what it was coming in. If you didn't set yourself up for it, I don't know what to tell you. I know that, you know, there's a lot of fans that, you know, still want to see this team win. I'd like to see this team win too, but we know what happens if they win. So, in general, improvements is what's important. The young players on this team who will carry over into the roster in 2020, that's the big thing that I'm personally looking at is what players are going to carry over to the new Miami Dolphins, which is going to take place starting in March of 2020. So let's dive into the game itself. We're going to open it up. The Chargers had a opening drive, 9 plays, 49 yards. That took 4 minutes, 48 seconds off the clock. That ended in a 44-yard field goal by the punter. Now, we got to talk about the kicking game here shortly, but the punter nailed a 44-yard field goal, and that was after a delayed game penalty that pushed it back. So the Chargers take a 3-0 lead, and the Dolphins, for the first time all season, had a lead. 6 plays, 75-yard drive, 3 minutes and 40 seconds off the clock. This drive was brilliant. I give kudos to Chad O'Shea for drawing up a really good scripted first drive for the Dolphins and well executed by Josh Rosen and the offensive line. It began at the 25. Drake ran for 7 yards. On the second play, Drake ran for 19, but there was an illegal formation. One of the offensive linemen was not covered, and that actually took back the 19-yard run by Drake. Then Balazs ran for 6, and Rosen hit Preston Williams deep for 25 yards. Now, it looks good on the stat sheet, but that play, Josh Rosen threw the ball up. It was deflected by Mike Gesicki into Preston Williams' arms as he was on the ground and made a catch. Big play for 25 yards. Preston Williams then took a lateral pass and then was sacked. Josh Rosen to Nick O'Leary for 9 yards. And then the big play of the drive on 3rd and 2, Devontae Parker from Josh Rosen for 34 yards and a touchdown and the first lead of the season for the Dolphins. Mike, what were your thoughts on the opening drive and the touchdown to Devontae Parker?
Yeah, it was a nice little drive there, aside from the one penalty. Even the play with Williams, where it was the lateral pass and technically a sack for minus 1 yard. You know, he made a heck of a play because the Chargers were all over that play, and Williams ran a lot to pretty much get back to the line of scrimmage, technically a 1 yard loss. But that was a heck of a play by him, not to make a bad pass and to get back to the line of scrimmage. So credit goes to the young rookie there. And once again, you know, a touchdown for Devontae Parker. The Dolphins take the lead. I said this last week that Parker this year is having a very good year. Look, it's only four games, and I know he dropped one ball last week against the Cowboys, as I had one person on social media send me a nasty email saying, I'm a loser, I'm never going to listen to your show again. I've ripped Devontae Parker for 5 years. I've ripped him, I ripped his family, I ripped his work ethic. But give the devil his due, give the guy credit. Through four games this year, he has been fantastic, even though he did have a drop or two. Not the end of the world, folks. A great play here. He had a great game overall, four catches on all four of his targets. He had a touchdown. Just a great overall play, a great route run by him, a great pass by Rosen. Credit to the Miami Dolphins offense here. They got on the board, and they finally got a lead. For what this year is, we all know what it is, you know, even if you're rooting for them to quote-unquote lose or tank, you know, you got to give the guys a little bit of something to cheer about. And they had a 7-3 lead for however brief it was, for about 3 minutes. But a nice play, a nice drive there to open up the game for the Dolphins.
I enjoyed the drive. Like I said, it was a well-scripted drive, well-executed drive. And, it was a good feeling. It was good to see the Dolphins find the end zone early in the game. Unfortunately, that was the only touchdown of the game. And you said 3 minutes is all the lead was. It was actually 3 minutes and 47 seconds as the Chargers drove down seven plays, 75 yards. That was capped off by a Tremaine Pope touchdown pass by Phillip Rivers. Now, I want to kind of run through this play and get your thoughts on it, Mike. So Phillip Rivers rolls out to his left. He gets towards the line of scrimmage. He pump fakes two Dolphin defenders to go after him, and that left Pope wide open to walk into the end zone. Frustrating. Phillip Rivers isn't running, people. Why bite? Why are you biting on
him? Yeah, I have no idea. What were your thoughts? It was a rough day overall for the Miami Dolphins on defense. As I sort of predicted heading into the game, if the Chargers were healthy, if they had all their pieces playing, I think the score would have been more lopsided than 30-10. Rivers just absolutely picked apart the secondary, and Miami's youth and inexperience showed all day on defense. Not a great day for the Miami Dolphins defense at all, really. I mean, they just made it very easy for the Chargers offense. The Chargers really, they gave Rivers a lot of time all day, and they were just able to move the ball down the field with ease. I mean, all their drives really were just, 3 minutes or less, 4 minutes or less. I think they had one that went 5 minutes, but it was just so easy for the Chargers to move down the field and get points. But, Rivers, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's damn close, and he had a heck of a day today.
He did, and, that was really – when you really look back on the Chargers' history in Miami, they have not had much success in South Florida throughout their entire time. And today was a good day. And, obviously we'll see what the future holds and if they play again down the road, what Miami Dolphins team they get down the road. Because I have a gut feeling, Mike, that this team will be a little bit different as we go through the next couple of years.
Yes, well, I hope so.
it better work, Yeah. So after the Chargers took the lead, We wound down the first quarter, but the Dolphins put together a really nice 12-play, 67-yard drive that ended in a Jason Sanders field goal. Real quick, running through the plays. Kenyon Drake left tackle for 3. Kenyon Drake right tackle for 5. Penalty on 3rd and 2, first down Dolphins. Then Josh Rosen to Kenyon Drake for 19 yards. Kenyon Drake for 4. Kenyon Drake for 5. Kenyon Drake for 10. Bolage, holding penalty. Unfortunately, that pushed them back. 1st and 20, Josh Rosen to Preston Williams for 12 yards. Defensive offside, 5-yard penalty. It's 3rd and 2, and Josh Rosen incomplete to Preston Williams. But then there's defensive pass interference. Jakeem Grant, -2. Josh Rosen incomplete. 30-yard field goal is good. And the Dolphins tie the game 10-10, and this drive was actually really nice, Mike. The Dolphins, again, 12 plays, 67 yards. It took 6 minutes and 35 seconds off the clock. Very good drive by the Dolphins to tie the game. What are your thoughts on the drive, especially them finally using Kenyon Drake a little bit more than what we've seen in the first 3 games?
Yeah, Drake was used heavily on this drive, and he was used heavily up until the point where he fumbled, even though they recovered the fumble, which happens a little bit later here. He was used heavily in this game. The surprising part was the offensive line, with all the shaking, with all the shakeups it's had and guys moving around, you know, it, for the most part today, was okay. I'm not going to say it was great because it wasn't great. I'm not going to say it was good because I'm not even sure it was good. But it was actually surprisingly okay.
Edward.
And, yes, for what they had out there, I thought they did a pretty good job with the offensive line. And on a 12-play drive, you can have a 12-play drive where you move the ball down the field and it ends in some sort of points when your offensive line is doing an okay job. And the offensive line on this drive really did stand out as they were – holding their own, and they gave Rosen time. They gave Drake room to run. So, you know, I want to give a little thumbs up there to the offensive line and how they played specifically on this drive.
Absolutely. And I, you know, again, this was a drive after they tied the game. You look at it and you go, you know, my thought went to, this is going to be a ball game. You know, a lot of people were saying that the Dolphins had a chance to win this game. Listen, I didn't think they had a chance. I thought they could keep it close. And being at 10-10 halfway through the second quarter was a good sign that the game was going to stay close. And it really kind of had more of that feeling as the Chargers went 9 plays, 54 yards, took 5 minutes and 5 seconds off the clock, and turned it over on downs, which was fairly surprising. This drive was a touchdown was nullified by an offensive pass interference by Keenan Allen that took the points off the board. But the Chargers ended up moving the ball fairly, you know, pretty efficiently. The drive ended at the Dolphins 37 yard line after a incomplete pass. The Dolphins get great field position after an unnecessary roughness penalty that was enforced between the downs. So the Dolphins opened the drive at the Chargers 48 yard line. Unfortunately, went only 7 plays, 16 yards, and a missed field goal by Jason Sanders wide right that kept the score tied at 10. You know, again, I'm not one to knock a kicker for missing a low percentage kick. You know, if I don't know off the top of my head what the actual percentage of kickers that make 50-yard field goals consistently, 50-plus, outside Greg Zuerlein and Justin Tucker, but it's a hard kick. And
here's the rule of thumb.
Push it right.
Here's the rule of thumb in the NFL. If you're an NFL place kicker, from 40 yards and in, you have to be automatic. You need to not miss 40 yards and in. Once you get outside of 40 yards, you know, you got to be okay. But once you get past 50 yards, you know, all bets are off. So Sanders saying this game missed a 50-yard field goal and a 52-yard field goal. And any fan of the Miami Dolphins who will get on him is an idiot and a clown because you don't know what you're talking about. Those are as low percentage of kicks as there are in this league. And from 40 yards and in, you got to be automatic. Sanders, for the most part, is. When you get to that 40 to 50-yard range, you got to be pretty good, which he is pretty good. Outside of 50 yards, you can't knock a kicker. I don't care if he's kicking in a dome. I don't care if he's kicking on grass. I don't care if he's outside of Miami or if it's a snow. 50 yards or more, it's a low percentage kick, and you can't get on the kicker for that. You want to be mad at somebody? Be mad at the offense that they took over a drive on the 48-yard line, and all they could do was get a long field goal attempt. Don't be mad at the kicker. Be mad at the offense that they put them in that situation.
Yeah, that situation was a drop pass by Preston Williams, which is going to be for a first down. And the third down play, they overloaded the left side of the defensive line and ran three guys at Josh Rosen, and he just put up a prayer that sailed out of the corner of the end zone on the far sideline. And, you know, in those plays, and, you know, you look at Preston Williams, yeah, he's an undrafted rookie. He's having some drop issues. And, you know, when you have an opportunity on about a 10-yard pass play to put it at the 22-yard line, and then maybe you stumble and have to go kick a field goal. Now you're looking at a 40-yard kick. So, you know, I don't knock Jason Sanders. Yes, he's got to be better on the longer kicks. That comes with time. That just comes with some technique. It's all it is. You know, let's not knock the kid. It's going to be a long year for a lot of players on this team. Jason Sanders unfortunately missed the kick. And due to that missed kick, that drive for the Chargers went 8 plays, 60 yards, took 2 minutes and 51 seconds. It was a touchdown pass to Austin Eckler, where on that touchdown pass to Eckler, hair-pulling situation, Rashad Jones, what was he doing going after Eckler on that play and just completely whiffed or gave up on the tackle and allowed Eckler to easily score?
That was a terrible drive for the Dolphins defense. Like I said at the top of the show, the Dolphins defense had a brutal day. This was as bad. I mean, they've lost games this year, you know, 43-0, 59-10 or 52-10, whatever the hell it was. This game was as bad as those games for the Dolphins defense. They, you know, they could not even slow down the Chargers. I know the score makes it look closer than it was. That's only because the offense held onto the ball a little bit longer and gave the opponent less opportunities. But I have no idea what Jones was. I mean, look, they have obviously there's holes everywhere on this team, but on defense, you know, there's no pass rush at all. There's none, and the secondary is an utter disaster right now. The secondary, you know, everyone's happy with the trade for Minka Fitzpatrick, and I get it because it looks like Pittsburgh's going to have a rough year, going to be a top 10 pick. But, you know, at least with Xavien Howard and Minka Fitzpatrick, you got something to build around. Right now it's just Xavien Howard, and there's nobody else in that secondary. Jones is, you know, he's getting older. He's on the wrong side of 30. Bobby McCain, he's trying to learn a whole new position. You have Xavien Howard and nothing else right now in that secondary. Eric Rowe is awful. Wiltz was hurt. He didn't even play. There's just nothing there. And, you know, that's why there's going to be days where even when the Dolphins offense looks, you know, okay, and granted it was only one touchdown, they're still going to lose badly because they can't stop anybody.
So with 43 seconds left in the first half, the Dolphins have a 7-play, 44-yard drive, methodically move down the field on a, you know, again, a very decent drive to
end that. Nice drive by Rosen. Nice drive by Rosen here.
Absolutely. He completed passes on this drive of 6 yards, 10 yards, 13 yards. The problem with Rosen on this drive was he took a sack at the 43-yard line of the Chargers, which pushed the Dolphins back to a 2nd and 14, which in turn he hits Devontae Parker for 13, sets up a 52-yard field goal try, and that was no good, pushed it again in wide right. Again, it's all technique for him. That kick was straight as can be. He just has to put it between the pipes. You know, it's all technique. I'm sure they'll get working on it during the week. But at halftime, the score was 17-10. Chargers feeling good. Dolphins feeling good about it in the game. Again, the third straight week, they are in the game at halftime. They're within striking distance.
And then it fell apart. Look, the team that went into halftime did not come back out on the field for the second half. Because in the second half, this Miami Dolphins team was not the team that we saw in the first half. After halftime, it got ugly. It just got real ugly on both sides of the ball. Especially on offense, it's like the team that was actually moving the ball in the first half, granted not a lot of points, they're moving the ball, putting together long drives, getting at least in field goal range, that offense didn't even look like the same offense in the second half.
And this game really changed as soon as the second half started. The Dolphins went 5 plays, 18 yards, and a punt to open up the half. Now, this is the drive that pretty much sealed the fate for the game. Again, it's a one-score game. Dolphins are looking okay. The Chargers take over at their 7-yard line after I don't know what the king for the Chargers was doing on that punt return, but he just let it go at the 25-yard line, and the ball rolled nicely down to the 7. So the Chargers are set up in bad field position, and this is part of the game that I think we want to spend a little time on. Just talking about the defense from this perspective, especially one player. So the Chargers were at 3rd and 9 at their 8-yard line, and Rivers hits short left to Dontrell Inman for 15 yards. third and nine, hits him for 15 yards. On this play, Inman did a, I would probably say, a good 12-yard, about 12-yard out maybe. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure where he was on the field. Once I watch the film, I'll know for sure. But what the hell was Eric Rowe doing on that play?
Well, I don't know
what Eric. How does he get turned so far inside out when he knows he has to be able to cover a guy, especially at the 8-yard line? If the Dolphins get a stop there and Eric Rowe has some semblance of a man who plays in the NFL, the Dolphins maybe stop him short. Maybe it's an incomplete pass. And they get the ball in great field position. You flip the field. It's an easy thing. And then the wheels come off. So after that stupid play by Eric Rowe, who was burned, the very next play, Austin Eckler goes for 10 yards. Then it was a blindside block. Then first and 21, Pope goes for no gain. Second and 21, Rivers hits Keenan Allen for 20. I mean, we can't make this stuff up, folks. Second and 21. These are low percentage plays in the NFL, okay? Typically, you want to keep the play in front of you. How is Keenan Allen wide open for 20? I don't know.
And on second and 21, why is Raekwon McMillan on the field? You know they're going to throw the ball, and you know Raekwon McMillan is a liability in the pass defense. Why is he even on the field? Again, no clue. Makes no sense.
No. Then Eckler goes for 7. Eckler goes for 5. Inman for 11, which Eric Rowe in coverage. Pope goes for 7. Eckler goes for 4. Pope goes for no gain. Rivers hits Eckler for 16. Pope for minus 3. Great play there by Jerome Baker and Taco Charlton to wrap him up. Second and 13, Phillip Rivers sacked by Taco Charlton. Taco, first two games, he's got 2 sacks.
And it's sad. The guy's been here for 8 quarters. He's been here for 2 games. He leads the Miami Dolphins in sacks. You know, that's a sad state of affairs. I mean, good for him. He's making plays. He actually looks like someone who's very active out there, and he looks really, really motivated right now, which is great to see with Taco Charlton. Hopefully he's someone we can keep beyond this year, and sort of he can be a rotational piece on the line. But, you know, the fact that he leads the team in sacks and he's been here for 2 games, it's probably that's a bad sign. That's a real bad sign. But I'll say this. He's a lot better than Charles Harris, who's been here for how many years and who continues to do nothing.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins, at the end of this season, I think the Dolphins will believe they've seen enough of Charles Harris because he's not off to a good start. He had a very good preseason. He's just, it did not carry over into the regular season. And Taco Charlton, for Jerry Jones to say that he's got no motor, that kid's got motor.
Well,
I mean, he was blocked on that play, pushed through the block, and got Rivers.
Well, I don't know what happened in Dallas, and maybe down there he didn't have a motor. But since they let him go and since he's been in Miami, he's got a motor. So maybe it took Jones releasing him to sort of turn on that motor. Because I don't know what happened down in Dallas. Maybe he was a lazy whatever. But up right now through 2 games, he is one motivated player out there for the Dolphins. So I will give him all the credit in the world.
So this drive ended with a 45-yard field goal by the punter. It was 20-10. So again,
that's when the game's really over, because when you're down by more than 2 scoring drives, if you're the Dolphins, you're pretty much done. And look, you can take this for the rest of the season, the next 12 games. In the second half, if the Dolphins are down by more than 2 possessions, 8 points or more, or 9 points or more, game's over. They're not going to be able to put together 2 scoring drives and a half of football, especially in the second half against any team that's even halfway competent. And that's when this game really ended.
Yeah, it really ended here too, because that drive was 16 plays, accumulated 66 yards. It took 10 minutes and 33 seconds off the clock. 10 minutes and 33 seconds. I don't recall a time that I've seen a drive go that long. in regards
to time. Well, wait to the next drive there for the Dolphins, because that really put the cherry on top of the sundae.
This drive was three plays minus 7 yards for a minute, 33 seconds.
Good night. Game over.
Josh Rosen was sacked at the 1 yard line, and it could have been a safety.
Should have been a safety.
So the Dolphins ended the third quarter having to punt. The Chargers drive seven plays, 56 yards, put another touchdown on the board. This was a Austin Eckler 1 yard rush. The very next drive, Josh Rosen throws an interception. I think he was throwing to the Chargers. There was three guys surrounding. I want to say it was Preston Williams. But it was awful. That was an awful throw, awful decision. And then the game mercifully ends after another field goal by the Chargers on a very short drive after that interception. The Dolphins had an 8-play, 23-yard drive that ended in a 2-yard checkdown pass on 4th and 12 from Josh Rosen to Isaiah Ford. And Tyrod Taylor pretty much just ran out the clock. And the Chargers end up beating the Dolphins 30-10. And let's get into the team stats before we dive into a couple players that I'm sure we want to talk about. The first downs in this game, Chargers 24, Dolphins 13. Third down efficiency, Chargers 8 of 13. Dolphins were 5 for 10. So that is an improvement. The Dolphins were 20% coming in. They finished at 50% in this game. That's a win. That's a win because the Dolphins are able to continue some drives. And by the way, they started the game 3 for 3. So this is all in the first half for the most part. Okay. Both teams are 0 for 1 on fourth down. The Chargers ran 65 plays. The Dolphins ran 47. And again, we can really pin that drive, the Chargers opening drive in the second half that started at the 7. And after Eric Rowe got toasted like 3 times on that drive, the floodgates opened. And the Chargers ran a lot more plays. If you take away maybe 13 of those plays, maybe if you go 3 and out, it doesn't look as lopsided. Right? Total yards, 390 for the Chargers. Improvement. That's way below the 500 that the Dolphins average in a game. 233 for the Dolphins. Both teams had 8 total drives. The Chargers averaged 6 yards per play. The Dolphins averaged 5. Passing 311 to 161. Josh Rosen in this game, 17 to 24. 5.6 yards per pass. That's not good. He was sacked 5 times. He threw an interception and, of course, the touchdown to Devontae Parker. The Chargers ran 33 times in this game. Accumulated 79 yards. Improvement. I can't say anything other than that this was their best game defending the run. They just couldn't stop the pass. The Dolphins ran it 18 times, 72 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry. Above their season average of 45. So, again, a little bit of a win. Penalties. The Chargers are penalized 10 times for 89 yards. The Dolphins were penalized 5 for 53. Penalties are staying down. They did have the one turnover. Time of possession, 37 minutes and 36 seconds for the Chargers, 22 minutes and 24 seconds for the Dolphins. Mike, your thoughts?
Again, pretty much everything I've stated earlier. They can't stop the pass to save their lives. And, you know, total yards. I mean, when you only have 233 total yards of offense, you're not going to beat anybody in this league. Not at all. So that's where this really was won and lost. I will say this. The offensive line, the shakeup, they put Jamarcus Webb at left tackle, Isaiah Prince at right tackle, and Evan Bone at right guard. Obviously, when Jesse Davis returns, they'll probably put him back at left tackle. I would not move Webb back to right tackle, though. I would stick with Prince here a few more weeks, and let's see what the kid can do. Again, what are we doing this year anyways? It's nothing. Isaiah Prince, he had a couple plays where it was like, yikes, that was pretty bad, where he like just let the guy walk by him. But he also had a few plays where he showed you a little something. He got a little surge, and I think Evan Bone at right guard, you know, he was okay, you know, for the most part as well. I would stick with those two guys on the right side of the line here, see if they can get a little chemistry playing together and see what happens, and just put Jamarcus Webb on the bench when Jesse Davis is ready to go. We'll see what they do. I don't know if they'll do that. I would probably guess they won't. But if it were me, I would. Because let's see what we got with Prince. This was his first NFL game. Obviously, his first start. It wasn't great, but he wasn't awful either. He was no worse than anybody else we got. So if he's no worse than anybody else we got, let's see what the kid can do here in the next 12 weeks. And maybe over the course of those 12 weeks, you find yourself a right tackle and you can save some money and spend it elsewhere next offseason. That's the only reason I would want to, you know, let's see what we have with him throughout the course of the rest of the year. Other than that, I will ask the question again that I asked you last week with Josh Rosen. Did Josh Rosen do anything in this game to make you not want to take a quarterback in round one next year?
Not at all.
Not at all. Josh Rosen, as I said this, for those of you who follow me on social media over the course of the game, Josh Rosen's going to be a guy, and this is going to be like this every week. He'll have his flashes where it's like, whoa, he might even play great for a half. You go, whoa, there's something here. But then for over the course of a game, you know, you see all the warts. And it's not a knock on him. I know he doesn't have great talent around him. I get it. And, you know, some people on social media were sending me things. Well, if you give him a real offensive line, he'd be great. That's the same thing we said about Ryan Tannehill for 7 years. Tannehill can have the best offensive line in the league. The warts are the warts. The same thing with Rosen. His warts really do not have anything to do with the offensive line. Yes, if he had a better offensive line, his numbers would improve, obviously, but the warts he has are there. So Rosen, you know, he's okay. He's okay. Serviceable right now, and he will continue to improve at times, but he does not change anything when it comes to drafting a quarterback in round one next year. So to me, that's off the board. Drake, and I said this too in the game, but I said it before he fumbled, because this is the problem with Drake. He's not a number one running back, and he never will be. And his flaws, which we now, you know, people say, why doesn't he get more involved in the offense? They said it with Gase, now they're saying it with Flores, because Kenyon Drake has many red flags. One, he's not very good at pass protection. Two, he drops the ball and puts it on the ground too much, and he does it in big spots. Last week against the Cowboys, last year against the Bears. Today in the first half, the game was still somewhat tight. He fumbles. Yes, they recovered, but you can't put the ball on the ground in big spots, and he does that far too often. But Drake had a heck of a day, or a heck of a half, at least, in this game. It's his final year in Miami. They're probably not going to re-sign him, and his trade value is never higher than it probably is right now coming off this game. You have an off week next week. It would be a good time if you're going to mix in guys like Walton or Laird, give them an extra week to prepare, get them ready. This would be the time to trade Kenyon Drake. You're not going to get much for him, maybe a fifth, maybe a sixth. That's fine. But again, if he ain't going to be here next year, give me the fifth or the sixth at this point. Why not? Because if he's gone anyways, and if he's not in your future plans, which I really don't think he is, let's move on from him. And this is the week to do it with the off week, so you give the younger guys time to prepare. To me, I would not be shocked over the course of the next 7 to 10 days if Kenyon Drake is traded away. Not sure who would want him. I'm sure there's a few teams in the market for a running back who would part with a low pick for him. But this would be the time to do it.
Yeah. You know, I'm indifferent if for trading Drake. I get it that, you know, he would be worthwhile trading because most likely he will not be here next year.
And he's not going to bring a pick, a compensatory pick. So get rid of that pipe dream for people who think that's happening. You might as well just trade him for the fifth or sixth round pick that you get in return and just be done with it.
Yeah. You know, like you said, you know, there are things that he can do and there's things that he just cannot improve on.
He can't do it.
The biggest thing is just holding on to the ball. You know, that's the big thing that needs to happen is ball.
It's the mental mistakes. It's that and the mental mistakes.
So the mental mistakes can definitely hurt him, but you know, overall, I think he had an okay game. Kenyon Drake, 44 yards rushing, almost 5 yards a carry, and he had 3 catches for 29 out of the backfield, almost 10 yards per reception.
Great first half. When he put the ball on the ground, though, you know, a head coach isn't going to – I mean, unless you're like a Zeke Elliott or a Saquon Barkley, you know, if they fumble once, okay, whatever. Look the other way because they just have such because their talent level is so great. When you're someone like Drake, who's, you know, an okay player, and you start making the mental mistakes, you don't pick up the blitz, you put the ball on the ground, no head coach is going to keep you out on the field when they have other backs on their bench who won't make the mental mistakes. So that's his. It was his problem with Gase, and now it's the same problem with Flores. And it's not the problem of the head coach. It's the problem of the player. Make plays and don't make mental mistakes. Drake, you know, everyone remembers the flashy plays. They remember the nice runs or the nice little one-handed catches at times, all that stuff. But, you know, you can't forget about the mistakes either.
Yeah. Mike, who do you have for your player of the game for the Dolphins?
Oh, God. Out of spite, I'm just going to say, just because that one guy sent me that nasty email last week, Devontae Parker, 4 targets, 4 receptions, 70 yards and a touchdown. He caught everything thrown his way. Like I said, he's off to a nice start this year. I can't pick anybody on defense because it was so bad on defense. Rosen's day really stopped at halftime. I would have to give it to Devontae Parker. Another solid outing for him. Again, I'm not saying he's the perfect player. I'm not. But in this miserable season, the one guy who has, you know, actually improved his game over last year, the one guy who continues to make plays, you know, yes, he has a few drops every now and then, but who continues to make plays week in and week out is Devontae Parker. And in this game, he scored the only touchdown that matters. So I will say Devontae Parker.
And Parker is currently, he's on track, if my math is right. Right now, he's on track for 40 catches for 680 yards.
But that's more of a...
That's a quarterback offensive line
exactly.
Problem, which is him. He's doing a good job this year.
He's not hurt.
And I think that's a huge plus. We're getting into the bye week. As long as he can take care of himself and continue to be healthy.
Here's the thing.
Again, we see little flashes of him, you know, the reason why the Dolphins liked him in the first round to begin with is some of these flashes that we're starting to see. If he can consistently be this guy every week, 4 for 70, 5 for 90, 6 for 110, if he can get to that range, $5 million for him next year is not bad.
Oh, he ain't going nowhere. As long as this continues. And here's something else this year, too. In years past with him and Stills and him and some other guys, he didn't always draw the number one cornerback of the opponent. Right now, since he's the only, you know, wide receiver on this team with any real experience, as again, there's no Albert Wilson and Grant, really, he'll never draw a number one wide receiver or a number one cornerback against him. Parker, he's doing it this year, playing against team's best cornerbacks most weeks, if not every week. So he's having his best year when he's being challenged the most by the opponents. Again, it's a miserable season. I know his numbers aren't, you know, something to go crazy over, but for the Parker we've seen through the first 4 seasons, this is clearly a much improved player, someone who's taking his craft more seriously, and he's making some plays. So, you know, like I said last week, if I'm going to rip the guy for all those years, you got to be fair. You got to give him credit for when he does positive things. And so far through 4 games, he's been more positive than negative. I know he's had a couple drops, but more positive than negative overall.
Yes. I'm going to give my player of the game to Taco Charlton. 6 tackles, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits. Do you know how many quarterback hits the Dolphins had in this game?
Probably 2.
It was 2. So Taco Charlton, Miami's best rusher right now. And again, they may not be saying a lot because the Dolphins don't really have elite pass rushers to begin with or even very good pass rushers, but it's a bright spot in a very dark season. Taco Charlton coming over on waivers. Now he gets an extra week, actually really 2 weeks, to get the defense more in, you know, in his repertoire. And, you know, and Brian Flores can figure out better ways to use him. Obviously, Charles Harris, the experience is just not panning out today for him. It was only 2 tackles in the game. You know, maybe Taco Charlton becomes the outside linebacker in those 3-4 sets, rushing the passer. I mean, that could be a situation that we could see going forward. But we'll see. But I like Taco Charlton's game so far, 2 sacks in 2 games with the Dolphins. Let's see how it plays out. You know, the Dolphins will have a decision. Do they want to keep Taco or do they want to move on from Charles Harris? As of right now, Taco's the guy is the leader in the clubhouse. To stay with the team going forward, Charles Harris may be out the door. We'll see. We still got 12 games to figure this out. As you said, Mike, at the beginning of the show, 4 games down, 12 more to go, and we can finally just put this season to bed because I'm getting more gray hairs.
Yeah, and honestly, with 12 games to go, which I know we're probably going to talk about next, you better hope that we lose them all. Because honestly, if we're going through this type of miserable season, the number one pick is the only thing that makes this even remotely watchable each week with our eyes on the prize, which is the number one pick. I don't want to pick number two. I don't want to pick number three. If we're going through this type of miserable season, I want to pick number one overall. And let me tell you, I said this 2 weeks ago, that the number one pick is not a sure thing. That this league is, you know, in previous seasons, there was a lot of parity. And there still is some parity in the NFL. But the divide between the haves and the have-nots has grown. And this year, it shows mightily. And there are 3 teams right now. I know there's more teams that don't have a win. But I'm telling you, a team like the Broncos, you know, they could have easily beat the Bears and beat Jacksonville. They could easily be 2-2. They're going to win a couple games. Cincinnati's sort of in that same boat, so I'm not that worried about them. They could have beat Seattle week one. They could have beat the Bills week three, I believe, that they played them. So, I mean, there's some teams that they might not have a win, but they're going to get wins, and they're going to get multiple wins, so I'm less worried about them. Hear me right now. Washington and the Jets, keep your eyes on them, especially Washington, which we'll go over their schedule soon. They are just as big of a train wreck as the Miami Dolphins are. And I think pretty soon the national media is going to give some of the attention that they have been mocking the Miami Dolphins on and sort of split that off and give some to the Redskins. The Redskins' schedule is absolutely impossible. And this team will win either 0 games or 1 game this year. And they are every bit in the race for the number one overall pick.
And they'll be getting a new head coach in the offseason who's going to probably want his own quarterback, regardless that Haskins was taken at 15 this past year. The
means nothing.
A new GM and a new head coach is going to want their quarterback, so it's going to mean nothing. And, you know, this game that we're going to in 2 weeks to cover, Mike, is which team wants to lose more. And that's going to be the game
because here's what it comes down to. And, yes, they have Haskins. And, you know, he played – today or on Sunday, and he was brutal. 3 interceptions and all that stuff. That's fine. And I'm just going to fly through their schedule. They have New England. That's a loss. Miami. Okay, we know about that game. San Francisco. San Francisco's looked well. At the Vikings. Vikings inside that dome is tough. At the Bills, they're not going to win. The Jets. Okay, maybe that's winnable, but that might be the last one. Lions look good this year. Panthers look good. At Green Bay. Philadelphia. The Giants with Jones have some energy to them at the Cowboys. If you look outside of if Miami beats the Redskins, that's almost like a game and a half. Because that means Miami would have to lose the rest and Washington has to win 2 because they're going to have the tiebreaker because Miami won in the head-to-head matchup. So that game week 6, like Tom said, I will be down there with Tom. We're going to be in the press box covering the game. We're going to be there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the whole thing. That's a big game because if Miami were to win, you know, you can start writing off. Well, I don't want to say write him off Tua, but it's that the odds of him being part of the Miami Dolphins go way down because no team, listen, and I will say this again. No team. I don't care if it's the Patriots or Tom Brady. I don't care who it is. Outside of maybe the Chiefs with Pat Mahomes. No team is not going to take Tua. Period. End of story. Just because they took Haskins last year doesn't mean they're not going to take Tua. Just because the Jets have Sam Darnold doesn't mean they're not going to take Tua. Tua is a better player. Quarterback's the most important position. They will take him and figure out what to do with Haskins, figure out what to do with Sam Darnold. They'll figure that out later. But no team is going to pass on taking Tua. It's like passing on taking Luck. It's like passing on taking John Elway. It's like passing on taking Peyton Manning. No team's going to do it, period. Just not going to happen. So Miami needs to be, you know, the worst team this year. And that Washington game right now is scaring me because the Dolphins, you know, for a half looked pretty good. And that was against the Chargers, who is, you know, a team that's, you know, in the playoffs every year with a Hall of Fame quarterback, two big-time pass rushers, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler's pretty good. I mean, that's a good team. That's a very good team. Washington ain't. So Miami, if they're in that game, you know, come the second half, even if they stink, they might still be in the game. And if they get a lead, Washington might not be good enough to overtake that lead. So look, if you're one of those people who are rooting for the Dolphins to win a game this year or win as many games as possible, I get it. That's fine. I don't agree. But you do what your heart wants to do in your heart and go for it. If you're one of those people who say, we got to lose them all, you know, be nervous. That week six game against Washington, that's our Super Bowl, folks. That is our Super Bowl. I'm nervous about the Jets, but I think the Jets with Sam Darnold and with Adam Gase, who's just going to be pissed off and want to shove it in Miami's face, I think the Jets will probably, you know, either split with Miami or they'll sweep us. The Washington game, you know, that's the Super Bowl for the Dolphins, because if they win that game, I don't think we're getting the top pick of the draft. That's just me. So they better find a way to lose it. I was joking around before we started to record. I said, Chris Greer's got to put in some overtime here the next 2 weeks, shake up the roster, bring in a bunch of new guys, so it's like a whole new team that's not even gelled yet, because I don't care what he's got to do. They got to lose this game to Washington. Because if they win that game, I think the Redskins have the inside track to the number one overall pick.
Yeah, it's going to be frightening for sure for the tankers. You know, and we'll see. I think with Haskins now looking like he's going to be the quarterback of the team, he will get more reps in. He will get better. And the way that the way that the Dolphins have a pass defense and lack of pass rush, Dwayne Haskins may look like Warren Moon in that football game.
True. And here's something else, because I know people are going to, as soon as they listen to this, they're going to flood my email box and flood my Facebook and stuff. Yes, I know there's other quarterbacks in the draft. Justin Herbert, Fromm, Love. That's all well and good. That's fine. But those guys aren't Tua. And if you are still not, if you still hate Tua or you don't buy into the hype, that's on you and your lack of football knowledge, and there's nothing I can say to change it. Tua is a cut above every other quarterback in next year's draft. And if it's going to take you years to finally come around to that, I don't know what to tell you. But Tua is far and away better than someone like Justin Herbert, far and away better than Jordan Love, and far and away better than Fromm from Georgia. So, again, if we're going through this miserable year where we're going to win one or two games or zero games, we better get the top guy, the franchise guy. And, you know, it's not a sure thing. He's not a savior. But our odds improve greatly with him on the roster. And that's what we're doing this for. Because if we end up taking a Justin Herbert, I mean, he could be the next. I mean, I don't know. That's not the ideal situation. And I know the Miami Dolphins would spin it and put a positive spin on it. And I know the fans would drink all the Kool-Aid and say, oh, see, Herbert this, Herbert that. But it's folks, it's all about Tua. It's only about Tua. It's not even about Trevor Lawrence. It's Tua, Tua, Tua. And don't talk yourself out of that, because that's the prize here.
He had 7 touchdowns against Ole Miss yesterday.
So, yeah. He's thrown no interceptions this year. Zero.
No, 23 touchdowns, no interceptions on the season.
And he plays real – I mean, yes, he – yes. And he's playing a very good schedule. Team. They play as tough a schedule as anybody. They schedule one or two cupcakes. I know they always have one late in the year where most teams play that easy game at the start of the year. LSU and – Alabama and Auburn, they schedule theirs at the end of the year because they want that sort of rest week prior to they have to play each other, which makes actually sense. And the other thing I get a lot, which drives me nuts, when they say, oh, he's got all this elite talent around him. That's why he's so good. Like, Baker Mayfield, when he was at Oklahoma, he was playing with nobodies. Like, he was playing with backups. What, or, like, you know, I don't know, Peyton Manning, when he was at Tennessee, he had a bunch of scrubs around him. All these players. Or, like, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. He has just as much talent, if not more talent, than Tua does at Alabama. If you're a great quarterback at one of these schools, you have elite talent around you. Elite talent around you. It's not a penalty. It's not something you mark against a player because he is on a great team surrounded by talent. That's like saying Joe Montana sucks because he had Jerry Rice and he had Roger Craig and he had all these guys around him. He had Dwight Clark. No, you sound like an idiot when you say stuff like that. People are just, you know, they're so clueless sometimes. Tua is the real deal, and it's not even up for debate anymore. And, I mean, just some of the plays he made this past weekend were absolutely sensational. What he can, how he moves off guys with his eyes, how he can move a safety with his eyes, his footwork, evading the rush, evading the tacklers, making throws on the run, the accuracy. If you watch those clips and you still don't believe, I mean, nothing's ever going to make you believe. This, like I said, when you look at NFL quarterbacks who've gone at the top of the draft, the ones who the scouts rave about and talk about as like generational type players really are John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and the next one is Tua. He's in that company. And maybe he doesn't live up to the hype. Maybe he doesn't. But I'll take my chances. I'll really take my chances.
And, you know, being on this topic, we have to discuss briefly, real briefly, the game tomorrow night on Monday Night Football is the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Go Bengals!
If there's any time you want to root for the Bengals, this is it, folks.
Let's go Andy Dalton, though. Here's the problem. Dalton in prime time is never good. When you got Dalton on a national stage, whether it's Monday night or, you know, a wild card game, anytime with Dalton's in prime time national stage, you know, he sinks like a stone. He just drowns, and he always craps the bed. But Pittsburgh this year is equally as bad. Mason Rudolph has been brutal. All of his passes are little sideways screen passes. I mean, he is the quarterback made for Adam Gase, really. He does not throw the ball down the field well at all. Mind you, they really haven't let him, so I don't know if he can't or if the Pittsburgh Steelers coaching staff is just afraid to let him air it out. One of these weeks, they'll probably let him air it out, and maybe he can do it, but so far, they haven't let him. You got to root for the Bengals here. It's in Pittsburgh. Cincinnati never wins in Pittsburgh. So even I expect a low-scoring game, but got to root hard for Cincinnati here. Root hard because I think Miami, if Pittsburgh loses, I think it's a good chance as we are now one quarter of the way through the season, through four games, 4-8-12-16. We're a fourth of the way through the season. If Pittsburgh were to lose and be 0-4, the Dolphins will probably, there's still a lot of games to go. It would look like they'll have two top five picks, I would think, because the Ravens look tough. The Brownies are now sort of right in the ship here. Cincinnati would have already won in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't think Pittsburgh would go to Cincinnati and win. So it would look like Miami would be in store for two top five picks, which, again, that opens the floodgates for so many opportunities. You can take two stud players. You can take your second top five pick and trade down and get more picks. I mean, it just opens the floodgates. So root hard for Cincinnati on Monday night. Root real hard for them because we need Pittsburgh to keep losing. Houston lost today to the Panthers in Houston. That was fantastic. Great sign there. If you're the Houston Texans, you have Hopkins as your wide receiver. You get in the red zone.
You're not throwing it to him.
Tom, here's a question. Do you throw the ball to Hopkins, or do you let Hopkins throw the ball?
I'll take.
You want to phone a friend?
Let me call somebody real quick. But I'm going to go with you throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's not what they
for
did.
For the love of God, you throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
That's not what they did. They actually threw a little sideways pass, like to play with Preston Williams. And unlike Preston Williams, who saw there's nobody open, let me just run and try and get back to the line of scrimmage to live another day. Hopkins in the red zone threw the worst pass straight to the Carolina Panthers, and it was intercepted. So that's why, you know, God bless Bill O'Brien. He made this horrible trade with the Houston Texans because they still don't have a general manager, and they won't all year. And he is going to help the Miami Dolphins rebuild, because when you're calling plays like that, I mean, what in God's name? You have a – that's like taking the ball, if you're the San Francisco 49ers in their heyday, and letting Jerry Rice throw the pass and not Joe Montana. Not that Watson's Montana, but you're not letting Jerry Rice throw the pass. You're throwing the pass to Jerry Rice. So Houston had a miserable day, thank God. And let's hope Pittsburgh has a miserable Monday night.
I just have to say this about Houston. They're in a division that's looking tough.
Jacksonville,
everybody
baby.
In that division is 2-2.
Jacksonville, baby.
Gardner Minshew, Uncle Rico Jr., led the comeback win against the Broncos today, which unfortunately I wish that didn't happen. But that takes Jacksonville pretty much out of a running, potentially to take a quarterback, because Minshew is winning people over in Jacksonville.
As someone who, prior to the season, who likes to put down a few wagers every now and then, and I love betting the over-unders, I saw Jacksonville, I think was at 7, and I'm looking at the AFC South, Luck retires, you know, Houston I don't trust as far as I can throw them. And I'm like, Jacksonville's going to get to 8 wins. I mean, 8 wins, that's nothing. I mean, it's a terrible division. And then down goes Nick Foles. I'm like, crap, you know, I'm screwed. No, Gardner Minshew, it might save my bet here. And I need Jacksonville to get to 8 wins for personal reasons so I can make a few bucks. So I am following them very closely this year. And my other lock bet that's already a win was the Jets under 7.5. There's no way the Jets are getting to 8 wins. So that bet I already won. Jacksonville, I'm really hoping to cash in on, though, because I thought that one was a lock as well. But it's starting to turn around. I got some hope that they can get to 8 wins. And look, they have a great running game, and they're strong on defense. If that kid just doesn't screw it up a quarterback, and so far he's not screwing it up, they're going to make some noise.
Yep. We can just anoint the New England Patriots right now as the division champions.
Yeah.
As they beat the Buffalo Bills. You know, again, when you're looking at the first round of this draft for the Dolphins, and obviously we're going to talk about this because this is the focus of the team. Imagine this. Let's say the Dolphins get the top pick in the draft, okay? Let's say Pittsburgh, we'll give them a round number. Let's say they finish 3-13 this year. That's a top four pick, most likely, okay? Can you imagine a situation where the Miami Dolphins draft Tua number one and with their next pick take Jerry Jeudy?
And then with their next pick, I'll take the other wide receiver from Alabama there.
Ruggs?
Yeah, I would take him and say, okay, that's our passing game. Because we'll sprinkle in Parker, Preston Williams, and Grant, and then I'll buy some offensive linemen and maybe take an offensive tackle in round two that we can sort of have a long-term left tackle, and I'll buy a guard in the center. And all of a sudden, that offense starting to look a little bit better now, ain't it?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, the Dolphins, like you said earlier, depending on where this Pittsburgh Steelers pick falls, where this Houston pick falls, the Dolphins will own the draft. They will own the draft.
They own the draft as long as they're picking one. If they don't get Tua,
they're going to shell out. They're going to offer whoever's picking number one.
Yeah.
For Pittsburgh's pick, Houston's pick, their second-round pick.
No team's going to trade the pick. Nobody's going to trade the pick, though. That's the problem. Nobody will trade it. So take it off from every pick they have. Take an offer them 3 first rounders, 2 seconds, 2 first next year, 2 seconds. The team's going to say no. They want you when this type of quarterback falls in your lap, you know, you're looking at 15 to 20 years, especially these days when these guys play into their 40s, 15 to 20 years of possible in the playoffs every year. There's no amount of picks. No team will trade the pick. Period. End of story. If Arizona somehow pick a number one, they'll take two and move on from Murray. They'll do it again. Nobody is going to trade the pick, period. He's that good.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see if the Dolphins don't get the first pick, who does. Because as the Million Dollar Man always says, everybody's got a price.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. So that'll do it. Mike, do you have anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
Well, obviously next week there's no game. We'll still do shows, you know, for the most part this week, although the news might be slow.
I believe no the game. Guys are going to have a week off, so.
Yeah, so there's not going to be much to talk about. The next game against Washington, like Tom said, him and we will be down there for the game. We'll be in the press box. We'll be in the locker room after the game. We'll have some videos for you, interviews with players right after the game. We'll do a post-game wrap-up show, which we will record down there in South Florida, in Miami. If you're down there, we're going to be down there for a few days. We're going to the Hurricanes game against Virginia. We got all day Saturday to ourselves, or we might be placing some bets at the casino. I don't know. It's just a rumor I'm hearing. We're gonna be down there. If you're in the area, you want to meet up with us and have a beer or something, by all means, send me a message. Send me an email. I can be reached on Twitter at Dolphins Talk or via email, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. All that good stuff. And it should be interesting because, look, through this miserable season, you can earmark a few games that have more importance than some others. This Washington game's one of them. And oddly enough, the other game we will be at in the press box and all stuff is the home game against the Jets, the return of Adam Gase to Miami. It just sort of worked out that we're down in Miami covering those two games. Those are the two most important games this year by far.
Listen, Adam Gase, I don't care what their record is. Both of these teams could be 0-7 going into that game. Adam Gase is not going to lie down for anybody. I don't care. He will not care about draft pick position.
Exactly.
He's going to be coaching for his job, and he will want to throttle Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins. There's no question. That's what he wants.
One way, I mean, he's in trouble already, Adam Gase, because they don't have a win. And starting next week, they got like Philadelphia, the Patriots, the Cowboys. Oh, they're going to be like 0-7 or 0-8 when they come down to Miami. If he were to lose to Miami and lose to the team that is A, pretty much openly tanking, and B, fired him, if you're the owner of the Jets, you have to look at him and go, you know, Miami wasn't wrong. We were, and see you later, buddy. Because he will be one and done that fast. So, and plus, I think Greg Williams, even though they don't have great talent on that side of the ball for the Jets, will just abuse the Miami Dolphins offensive line. I think he'll put together blitz packages that'll confuse the Miami Dolphins left and right. The Jets scare me less than the Redskins right now. The Redskins are at the top of the list. And start rooting for the Redskins each week's fall because we need them to win a couple games. I don't know if they can.
We'll see. And we'll see week six what happens. Again, Dolphins bye week is here. We will have shows if there is news that comes out. We'll let you know. But I believe that the Dolphins are going to have a week off. So there's not going to be any practices, not going to be much going on. But, you know, be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com every day for all the Dolphins news and information. You can follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. And, you know, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Again, the Dolphins lose to the Los Angeles Chargers 30-10, going to 0-4 heading into the bye week. And, you know, with the next time that we will be talking to you, it'll be Redskins week. And we will be in South Florida getting ready for the game. But we're going to have some fun while we're down there. So as Mike said, if you guys, you know, listeners of the show, you want to come hang out, have a beer or whatever, let us know. We're always down to talk to people that were.
And we will also have the story of which Italian restaurant we went to.
Yes.
Because all you people, God bless you. That's why I love you all. You send in so many. We have the list narrowed down to about four or five that we really think are good. And we're going to pick one. And like I said, the place we go, I have everyone's names or email addresses or Twitter handles. I will reach out to that person and say, you won. We picked your place. And I will get you a hat of the Miami Dolphins or something like that.
Yeah, and if it's good, we'll make sure.
If it's good. If it stinks, I ain't getting you nothing.
Yeah, you get nothing if we don't like it. Again, you're talking to some New York guys that know and love Italian food.
And I'll be honest with you, too, because it's only a 20-buck hit. It ain't about the money, folks. If it's a good meal, you're getting your hat, trust me.
Oh, yeah. And that and Mike, we can pick that hat out while we're at
the team store. I know. Absolutely. We'll get it right from the team store.
And I'm a hat wearer, folks, so I'll pick a good one.
Yes.
So that'll do it for the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We are out. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.